You're listening to the Right Turn Radio podcast. Here's another selection from our speaker series, a series of exclusive interviews with the nation's leading specialists in the addiction and recovery fields. Now here's Woody Giesman's interview with Brian Cuban, lawyer, activist, and author of the new book, Shattered Image, which is a memoir about his personal struggle with eating disorders and body dysmorphia.
This is the speaker series presented by Right Turn Radio, and we're live at the Foundations Recovery Network's Moments of Change Conference in Palm Beach, Florida. My name is Woody Giesman, and I'm your host this evening, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Cuban, the author of Shattered Image. Brian, welcome to Right Turn Radio.
Thank you for having me.
I know that you've been signing your book and speaking to people at the conference.
I have. It's been great. Medivance Billing was kind enough to sponsor me to come down here, and my goal was to give away these books and enlighten people that males do suffer from eating disorders as well as addiction, as alcoholism, and shed some light on a subject that's really just not talked about that much.
Thank you so much for your bravery to step forward and write this book. It must have been a terrific process for you.
Like a lot of these books, it started out as a cathartic experience. You know, you're trying to heal. I'm a big believer, whether it's addiction recovery or eating disorder, in expressive writing as something that heals. And so that was how it started. I like to write, expressive writing. And as I got into it, especially the eating disorder part, I had been very open about my addictions and everyone knew because I was a nut. especially with the eating disorder part, the more I got into it, the more I said, no one's talking about this from a guy standpoint. And then it became more than a cathartic experience. Then it became, how can I educate? How can I spread awareness? Mm-hmm. How can I get just one more guy to step up and say, it's okay to talk about this?
Yeah.
There's no shame. There's acceptance. We need more people to do that. And Shattered Image was born.
Walk me through it, Brian. When did you get into recovery and when did you start to write this book?
I got into recovery in 2007. My aha moment was when I was standing in the parking lot of a Dallas psychiatric facility for the second time.
Okay.
After being taken there after a 2-day alcoholic and drug and Ambien induced blackout.
Okay.
And I'm standing there thinking, and I'd had a near suicide attempt not even a year before, and I'm thinking, you know what? There's not going to be a third trip here. I will not be alive. And even more than that, because I'd had that thought before and went back out. Even more than that, I'm like, I'm going to lose my family.
Yeah.
My father raised us. I have two brothers. My father raised us to be very close. Brothers, brothers, brothers. You know, you hope it doesn't happen, but husband, wives go, girlfriends come and go. But he raised us every day. Your blood is forever. Your family is forever. And I was afraid. I was terrified that I was going to lose that because family may love you unconditionally, but there are limits to their willingness to see you kill yourself.
Yeah.
So they'll distance, they'll pull away. They may still love you, but they don't want to be around you.
Mm-hmm.
They have families. And I was afraid that that was going to start to happen. And that is what got me to turn it around.
And so you began the process of writing.
I began the process. I went in a 12-step.
Okay.
Because you got to get the addictions under, you know, you got to get the stuff that can kill you immediately under control.
Sure.
So, and those were my addictions, the alcoholism, the drug addiction. And then I could deal with the eating disorders. I went into 12-step. And then it was about, I started writing about my experiences recovering from alcoholism, which met with some disdain and controversy in the alcohol recovery community because I was very open about my experiences in 12-step. And even if you don't say the word, people don't like you talking about it for the 11 tradition. But I started writing about that and it was very healing. And then I finally, in 2008, went public with my eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I did it on my blog. No one in my family knew. No one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hid it from everyone. And I started, and then I started writing about all these different aspects of eating disorders. And then about 2 years ago, I'm like, you know what? I think there's something here in terms of helping people. It can't be about me. It's got to be about helping people. And I took all my notes and I took all my blogs. I put them together. I messed with them. Took them to a publisher. He said, you know what, Brian? You can't write worth crap, but we think there's something here. All bloggers think they're authors, and we're not. But we think you have something there. Let's get you with people that can help you put it into book form. And the Shattered Image was born. Mm-hmm. And it took me about a year to write the book from, not from notes, but from actual, we are going to write a book
right.
to publication. That was about a year process.
And I'm sure that it was a very healing process for you. And anyone going through that kind of 12-step recovery process, you know, we learn very early on, and this is something as a therapist I teach my people, that if you're going to keep what you have, you need to learn how to give it away.
Absolutely.
And so this seems like it's a very healing process from you, not only sitting down to write this book and go through the process of publishing this book, but also your ability to make use of this as a tool.
Absolutely. I mean, again, I am one of the biggest believer in expressive arts and expressive writing as a tool of recovery, because it helped me so much. But, you know, just to let one person know that they're not alone is so gratifying. When I get emails, it's from men and women saying, I'm going through this. Thank you for showing me I'm not alone. I feel so alone. Now I know I'm not. And I get those every week. That makes the book worth it. If no one bought one copy of Shattered Image, those emails make everything worth it.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the body dysmorphic disorder. What did treatment look like for you?
First off, body dysmorphic disorder, for those who don't know, is when you take a minor or non-existent defect in yourself and you exaggerate it in your reflection, in the mirror or in a window, in your computer monitor, to the point where it horrifies you and it affects your ability to live your life in a, quote, normal manner, unquote. You stop going out. You don't enter into relationships. You can't maintain relationships. You abuse drugs. You abuse alcohol. You abuse steroids. Mm-hmm. You engage in plastic surgery to the point of going broke, which I did. And you engage in all these behaviors to change this horrific image you see in the mirror that may not even exist, that probably doesn't even exist, mm-hmm. that you're just imagining. And for me, that all arose from bullying at school over my weight. I was a heavy kid. And I was fat shamed at home by my mom. She called me a fat pig, called me stupid. And she was fat shamed by her mom. I mean, this is in the early baby boomer era, you know, where you had very defined gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the moms were at home, fathers, my dad was World War II vet. Just very defined mom at home. And she had this done to her mom. And it had an effect on me, and it caused me to see myself differently.
Well, these created these huge wounds that were unseen by others.
Absolutely, and they were wounds that, until I got to the crux of 40 years later, I continued to engage in self-destructive behavior. So there were wounds that never healed, because no one wants to tell people about their mom calling them a fat pig.
Mm.
You don't want to tell your psychiatrist, you don't want to tell your psychologist, you don't want to tell anyone, so you internalize it, and it just eats at you. And it manifests itself in all these self-destructive behaviors. That is body dysmorphic disorder.
And so, Brian, tell me a little bit about what treatment looked like for you.
For me, treatment looked like, first off, I had to get in a 12-step because I had to deal with the addictions. I was an alcoholic. I was abusing alcohol. I was abusing cocaine. And I had to get those under control because those can kill you immediately. Once I got some sobriety and drug-free sobriety under my belt, both alcohol and drugs, I was able to start thinking clearly. Then I was able, the next step was to get honest. Then I was able to stop lying to my treatment provider, to my psychiatrist, and start telling him what was really bothering me and what was really going on, and start addressing that 11-year-old bullied little boy mm-hmm. that I had suppressed for so long. Once I got honest with my treatment provider, we could get into therapies like cognitive behavior therapy and things that would allow me to progress. And that allowed me to start taking risks, you know, cognitive risk. Are people really thinking that about me? Are people really looking at my stomach? Do people really think I'm bald? And start testing those theories. And the more I tested my negative thoughts and saw they weren't true, the more I was able to substitute positive thoughts.
So you're on an elevator, the elevator opens, and five people walk onto the elevator and they're all laughing. Are they talking about you?
You know what, even now, my first thought might be that they are laughing at me, because there's not really, at least in my experience, there hasn't really been a cure for the thoughts. There's only a cure for how I process the thoughts. So my initial reaction in that elevator, even at 52 years old, and I'm functioning, doing okay, might be, what, is something hanging from, you know, am I fat today? But then, you know, I'm immediately able to go, that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Look up, smile, how you doing? Mm-hmm. So the thoughts may come, but I process them differently and I process them quickly. Mm-hmm. There's a medication aspect to that as well. Mm-hmm. Because body dysmorphic disorder goes with hand in hand with obsessive compulsive disorder. Antidepressants, SR1s, control obsessive compulsive disorder to some degree, which gives me a fuse to take longer to go through those negative thoughts and put in the positive thoughts quicker. So I'm honest about it. I take 20 milligrams of Lexapro a day. And that helps with the obsessive compulsive thoughts that go with body dysmorphic disorder. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you're on Right Turn Radio, and our listeners are out there. They're driving in cars. They're listening at home. What would you say to someone who's struggling?
I would say there's someone out there you can trust. Find them. There's someone out there that loves you. There's someone out there that is not going to judge you. Drop that wall for 1 second. Drop that wall that you've put up to keep everyone out so you don't have to feel the shame. And, you know, show people the shame that you think you're projecting, because they're there to help you. Just drop it and step forward, just one little step.
Well, Brian, maybe they don't know that help is available. How could they reach out to you? Tell us how they can find you.
Find me. You can reach me at brian@briancuban.com. You can reach me through my website at briancuban.com. I'm always there for support. There are support groups on the internet. There is help out there. We just, you know, especially from a guy standpoint, we feel so ashamed to seek it out. And you put this wall up around you. You know, for me, the hardest part was dropping that wall. Yeah. For 1 second, just dropping it for 1 second and taking a step forward.
So may the walls come crashing down. Brian Cuban, thank you so much. The author of Shattered Image. My name is Woody Giesman. You're listening to Right Turn Radio. Brian, again, thank you so much
for
taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor to be on.
Thank you for listening to the Right Turn Radio podcast. Please check us out on Facebook and at www.right-turn.org.